both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I am your co-host, David Golden from OregonSportsNews.com, joined by my co-host, Jake the Half-Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA. What's up, dude?
What's cracking? So we got a lot of shit has gone down, huh?
Yeah, man. What a crazy weekend of fights, huh?
I loved every second of it.
Yeah, it was so exciting.
It was so dope.
Yeah, I love, you know what I love the most?
What?
I love that the mainstream media is talking about it. Now you don't just have to, you don't have to go to some weird nook or cranny to hear about it. You can be like, oh, check that out. ESPN's covering. Oh, like today I was listening to the Dan Patrick show and Ariel Helwani is on.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. You know, that it's kind of fun to have that happen.
It is fun, but of course it's got to be kind of in a negative light, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of seems to be, that's usually when mainstream picks it up.
Usually it's either when something huge is happening, or when something terrible happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
But in a way, I still think it's good for the sport.
I think it's great. I mean, I was talking to someone else about this the other day and, people were like, oh, this is a black eye for the sport and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck no, it's not. Remember Mike Tyson? Remember all the shit that he started up? That's, yeah. That's what it is. This is shenanigans. It's fighting. This is what people like.
Yeah, no. Or they were talking today, Ariel and Dan Patrick were talking about a boxing match. Which one was it? Andrew Glotta, when they had the fight after in the cage and all that.
Is that the one where the parachute came out? The guy parachuted down and like...
No. This is God damn
it. I know Homeboy punched Riddick. Was it Riddick Bowe in the dick like 6 times?
Well, yeah, but this is a whole nother thing.
Oh, it's a different one.
Yeah, where he, there was like a brawl in the cage and, in the ring.
Yeah.
And Jim Lampley is calling a play by play on this like brawl, and they film the whole thing, and Ariel and Dan Patrick are like, I don't know why the UFC went away from the camera. Keep it there. I mean, yeah, people want to see this shit. Come on. Know?
Yeah.
But so we have a lot to talk about. Plenty to cover when it comes to Conor and Khabib and the aftermath of their fight.
Yeah.
And our favorite fighter ever, Dylan Danis, getting involved, and
that motherfucker. But first, I guess let's do the Bellator stuff. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, let's talk a little Bellator up front, because we have this weekend, the Friday the 12th and Saturday the 13th of October, we have back to back Bellator cards.
Boom.
Boom shakalaka.
You got 207 and 208?
207 and 208. Right. 207 will give us one of our heavyweight matchups. What round are we in? Semifinals or something?
This will be the final. Yeah, yeah. So
semifinal. Yeah. Then
so
the
we'll see who the finalists.
Final. Yeah, yeah. So this is the semifinal round. At 207 on Friday, you have Matt Mitrione versus Ryan Bader. So I think that's a really competitive fight, man. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
On that card, you also have if you're in that camp that loves just a slobber knocker heavyweight fight, you have Roy Big Country Nelson going up against Sergey Karatanov.
Oh yeah.
If you don't know who Sergey Karatanov is, he fought in K1. He has very high level kickboxing. Used to train with Golden Glory. Yep, he fought for Pride, and he has brutal knockout power.
Oh, that guy is scary as fuck.
Yeah, like his knockouts are not as consistent as some other heavyweights, but when he does knock you out, it is terrifying.
Oh yeah, he's just he's a big ass Russian. He's scary. Russians are all scary. Someone is for sure getting knocked out in that fight.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you talk about Roy Nelson. He doesn't get knocked out very easily, so it might just be Roy Nelson.
But he has gotten knocked out, a few times, right? And Karatanov has the striking to do it.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, and Karatanov's chin is not the best anymore either, and so I think for sure one of them is getting knocked out. I'm leaning towards more Karatanov, but
I think you're probably right that one of them is going to get knocked out. Karatanov kind of reminds me of Mark Hunt in a way, because he does have the power just to end it. And mm-hmm. Mark Hunt did put down Big Country. So You know, that could be a good one. But on that card, you also have Lawrence Larkin. He's taking on someone who's filling in for Eric Silva. Eric Silva bowed out of his fight with Lawrence Larkin.
So is that still an alternate for the Grand Prix? Correct?
I'm assuming so. Okay. My guess would be is if Lawrence Larkin wins, he's an alternate. I don't know if Ion Pascu.
Whoever that
is. Pascu?
Pascu.
Yeah.
Pascu.
P-A-S-C-U. I don't know if he's going to be an alternate or not, but Lawrence Larkin probably will be, assuming he gets the win here. I don't imagine they're giving him a terribly difficult matchup. They probably want him to be the alternate, would be my assumption.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, the guy's coming on short notice. I mean, who knows? But, it is fighting. Anything can happen.
Yeah, well, and he does have the history. You know, Lawrence Larkin has the history of Paul Daly having lost to him. Not that long ago.
And Lima.
Yep.
So he's been tagged up the last few fights.
It'll be interesting to see if they even need an alternate for that tournament. But beyond that, a couple other fights on there. Baby Slice, Kevin Ferguson is fighting Corey Browning, and then Carrington Banks is fighting Mandel Nalo, the guy you were supposed to fight.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I got fucking old man hips, so I got hurt again, and I wasn't able to. Well, I didn't even get a contract. I got hurt before I even. It was just talks at that point, you know, text messages. But I'm gonna tell you, man, that Nalo guy is no fucking joke. Carrington Banks too, man. That's another guy who, you know, these fuck. Bellator is like, hey, lightweights, fuck you. There's no easy fights for you guys.
Nope.
So, I'm leading toward Nalo to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just more well-rounded. His striking's pretty good. I don't think it's the greatest, but he has some good. He has some really good kicks, and he's got some really good jiu-jitsu. Carrington Banks is just, you know, your typical wrestler. Just kind of boring, grinding. And his last fight, he got submitted by Piccolotti, so...
Yeah, but, you know, a good wrestler can nullify a good striker sometimes, so...
But Nalo is so lanky.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the difference right there, is how lanky he is, and he fights long, too.
Yeah.
So
is he natural 155-er? Is he big? I don't really know how big he is.
He's pretty big.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, decent card for Friday, considering you have kind of an awesome card on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that Friday card is pretty sweet too.
Right? I'm not mad at it.
I think fuck, man, Bellator stepped it up. But yeah, let's sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good, man.
Go ahead.
That's what we're here to do. Cut me off. So Friday looks good. They have again. So you'll be able to catch all the action from this card on the Paramount Network, formerly Spike, if you don't know where your Paramount Network is on your dial. They have a pretty hefty preliminary card that you can check out on the ParamountNetwork.com if you want to watch some up and coming fighters. They have a number of ladies fighting, a bunch of dudes fighting as well. Should be a fun card if you're looking for something to do on Friday night. If I'm not mistaken, actually a local fighter, Ben Egli, is fighting on Friday night. I believe it is airing on CBS Sports.
Oh shit.
It's okay. The FCC FCC Fight Dome, I think is what it's called, because the fights are taking place at the Fight Dome at the Rio in Las Vegas. So Ben's in a title fight, so shout out to Ben Egli. Good right luck, on. Bro. Hope you can bring some gold back home.
Yeah.
For this weekend, man, action packed. Then on Saturday we have the fight everybody's talking about, or at least everybody in the Pacific Northwest is talking about for sure, is Fedor Emelianenko taking on the American gangster Chael Sonnen.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen a lot of press for this fight. You see it on MMA Junkie, you see it on all the major MMA sites. Mm-hmm. I think Chael has done a tremendous job in selling this fight, because Fedor hasn't done a goddamn thing.
Well, I mean, why it's would fucking he? Fedor. Yeah,
yeah, like, it's Fedor. He doesn't have fucking, to.
He's a mute.
Yeah, he doesn't have to, but
he's a potato-eating mute. That's what he is. That's all he eats is fucking potatoes. I witnessed it too. After he got knocked out by Mitrione, I witnessed him eat a big ass plate of just the shittiest hash browns. That is it. Well, could you be any more Russian? Could you be any more Russian? Straight up. That's why he has like no muscle definition, like no protein. He's just, oh, I'm all carbs.
Yeah, all carbs all the time.
I eat a little bit of potato and then I don't talk.
Yeah, he's all carbs and sweaters.
Yeah, man, he's just, fuck that guy, you know? Fuck Fedor. I'm team fuck Fedor.
Yeah, I don't hate Fedor. Like
I don't hate him, but you know what? We're rolling up gang gang, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way I roll. Fuck you.
Yeah, I get it.
My buddy, I don't give a shit. I'll fucking...
You'll be the alternate? Is that what you're telling me? You're going to be the alternate if
we'll start,
falls out?
No, we'll start a fucking Khabib fucking Conor thing, but, you know, America fucking Russia thing.
You're going to piss off one of his guys. They're going to jump out of the cage and try to hit you with a flying kick.
Fedor just jumps at me. Yeah, he told the potato.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, Chael's done a great job selling this fight. You know, he certainly rubbed Fedor fans the wrong way. He's done a great job, you know, just vintage Chael Sonnen and doing Chael's what he does.
And yeah, a lot of, you know, some people say it's a little corny, it's cheesy, but at the end of the day, I mean, people are still tuning in.
Yeah. You know? But you know, all your favorite wrestlers when you're a kid, if you were into professional wrestling, were cheesy and corny. You know what I mean?
His thing is he likes to keep it classy, right? He likes to keep his trash talk to a point where everyone can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, it's not like a Conor who's like, it's fuck PG. You. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a little bit more, I think it is a little bit more witty, but it does come across just, you know.
It's super witty, and he does a great job of getting under people's skin. I think in the UFC, he did a tremendous job of it. I think he really paved the way for a guy like Conor.
1,000%.
He really did a good job with that. And a long time ago, I wrote an article just saying that the trash talking is king, you know, it was clear that's what had happened. And that's the way the sport's gone. And we're proving it, you know,
single-handedly, could we say that Chael has ruined the sport?
It's definitely his fault that Anderson Silva got popped. I blame the whole decline of Anderson Silva on Chael.
What? Why?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he just made Anderson think about, you know, life in a different way after that, like, after that 24 and a half minute beating he put on him. And, you know, if Chael ruined the sport, that's where it happened.
So you think after he got that beating, Anderson Silva said, oh, I need to start taking some steroids.
Maybe.
With this soft ass Brazilian voice. He has a very soft voice. It's very like
he does have a dainty voice.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
So maybe he does need a little testosterone.
Have you heard, speaking of weird voices, you heard Patrick Mahomes talk?
Yeah. I was a very first. I'm going to take credit for this because I've seen memes since then, like 2 weeks later, where people are like, oh, it's Kermit the Frog. I said, this motherfucker looks like Kermit the Frog. Or sounds like Kermit the Frog. You can go back and look at my tweets. It's back there, thousands of tweets behind somewhere, but it's there. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, a fucking Kermit the Frog speaking motherfucker.
It's even like weirder than Kermit the Frog because it'll be like, it'll have that weird throatiness, but then sometimes it goes high pitch and then sometimes it drops back low and he has this weird Texas twang.
I was
going
to say, is there's like a little country accent?
Yeah. It's just so crazy. I don't even know how to do it.
I threw the ball and then the guys got.
But it's throatier. We threw the ball. Yeah. We threw the ball. We went for the play.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, dude. He's got the craziest voice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to hate on a guy for his voice because that's just how you sound. It's your
football,
fault.
Right? I can't really hear him. But yeah. I just said, don't ever do an interview again.
I heard an interview with Travis Kelce, and he's like, sometimes you just laugh when you're in the huddle when he's talking.
Really? That's so funny.
This is terrible. Poor guy.
They should have like someone, like, he should learn how to like sign language or something.
Right.
For his first interview.
Just
he will never be a spokesperson for a company.
You know, there's plenty of spokespeople out there who don't
say
anything.
Head and shoulders.
They just overdub all his stuff.
Oh man,
that would be the pretty good. Pretty good. Do like animated commercials with Patrick Mahomes and just have somebody else do his voice. You know, Tom Brady.
If he was smart, he would get in front of it and just be like, "I want to do a commercial with Kermit the Frog, like a Lipton iced tea commercial or something." You know, because there's always that meme with something like that. Like, if I was his manager or PR rep or whatever the fuck, that's what I'd be doing.
Dude, he should try to get on Sesame Street.
Is that still around?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They do it through HBO now.
What?
Yeah, HBO owns Sesame Street.
That's weird.
It's awesome. Who cares?
All right. As
long as it's still around, Sesame Street was the shit.
So HBO is showing Sesame Street at 10 in the morning, and then by 10 at night, you can watch softcore porn.
I feel like that's more Cinemax thing.
HBO has it too. Trust me.
Do they still?
I know. I wouldn't know.
Well, okay, enough Patrick Mahomes talk. But yeah, so Chael did a great job selling the fight. I'm excited to see what happens. You know, this is the matchup that I said is most favorable for him. I said all along it would be him and Travis Bader in the final. I still stand by that. I'm sorry, I said Travis. Ryan Bader. I got Travis Kelce on my mind.
Okay. Really, you think Bader, huh?
Yep.
I'm going Mitrione.
I said it all along. I think Bader's gonna take out Mitrione, and he's gonna out wrestle him. Mitrione's not gonna be able to use those hands that he thinks are so wonderful, and they're pretty good when they're good, but when you know when they're bad, they're bad.
I don't know what you're gonna do. Ryan Bader's chin is so fucking shaky that I just think it's not gonna take much for Mitrione just to tag him.
We'll see. I gotta stick with my guns. That was my call from the beginning. Yeah, no, that's cool. I can't back down now.
I mean, I'm hoping. Honestly, I hope you're right. Like, I just don't want Chael. I think Chael beats Mitrione too.
I think Mitrione is a better matchup for Chael.
Yeah, he is. Mitrione, I just don't like how big he is. You know?
Mitrione gets through and Chael, and Chael can get through Fedor, I think that Chael has the most legit shot to win at that point.
Yeah,
I still think Mitrione versus Chael is a toss up. It's a coin flip to me, just because Mitrione can be so dangerous. He's so fast and he's so big and powerful. You know, his strikes are more devastating than I think, and maybe more than the other two guys. You know, than Bader or Fedor. I mean, Fedor though went man when he hits you. He's got a way with putting people out.
I have this theory about Fedor and his punches. Because, like, you know, I was helping Chael when I could. You know, we're going over, and I had to simulate fucking Fedor's awkward-ass striking. And, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, the thing about Fedor is I don't think he hits as hard as everyone thinks. I think it's that he's fast. And I think that's what it is. It's that these bigger guys don't see it coming. And it's, you know, it's a fast punch. It's not as much as... he like when you guys are standing there trading, you know, he has this, you know, killer power. And I was like, Chael, I was like, you know, because he was kind of thinking about that. He's like, you know, he's just, you know, it looks like it hits so hard. I'm like, I don't think that's what it is, man. I think he's just fast. And I was like, you're going to have just as much speed on him.
Yeah. He's fast and he's accurate when he does throw those punches.
Because they come from weird angles.
But he doesn't waste, shots. He doesn't come out there and do the Wanderlei Silva or, whatever. He doesn't waste his energy on shots that he doesn't think he's going to connect on. And when he throws, he connects, you know, and it's, even though it's awkward, it's still accurate. You can throw a weird strike and land it if it's what you do. Just like someone shoots a basketball just because they have a weird shot doesn't mean they're not going to be accurate. So
I think it's even better for fighters when they have those awkward weird punches.
Absolutely.
Like that. Chuck Liddell, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's, like, I know, like, when I spar, like, I can spar someone who's been boxing for, like, years, and I'll look way better sparring against someone who's, you know, light years technique above me than I would be with a first day fucking guy coming in, because they're doing stuff that isn't typical. So, like, stuff like I would slip, you know, oh, you throw a jab right hand, I'm slipping that right hand because that's what I'm expecting, but they're throwing, like, a jab right hook, left, you know, it's just coming weird angles and you're like, ah, shit, you know?
Yeah, they're just throwing whatever they're feeling.
It's not what you're accustomed to when it's, I don't know how to explain it for casuals.
You're saying it right.
Is that okay?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you come in there and you're used to fighting people who throw certain combinations, you expect certain punches to follow other punches.
Yeah, there's like a rhythm to it. Yeah.
And that's why the path that Dominic Cruz laid out for mm-hmm. so many guys has worked so well for people now, you know, like yeah. TJ Dillashaw. I mean, he's kind of perfected what, you know, Cruz did, and you know, you have yeah. Mighty Mouse was very similar. You know, those guys with that awkward movement and throwing punches from weird angles, they're always successful, man. They're always successful.
Yeah. Yeah. Know?
But for how long, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
if you don't switch up those things, then those combinations become predictable. I mean, that's what happened to Dominic Cruz.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I absolutely think so. Hmm. I think people are finally figuring out when he takes this step this way, he's going to throw this type of point. I mean, it started to become more predictable. He didn't change it up. He just had this weird style, and he kept doing the same thing.
Interesting.
You know, if Cody Garbrandt can figure out where your combinations are coming from, like, I mean, I'm not trying to hate on Cody Garbrandt, yeah. But you know, the guys at Alpha Male watched the tape on Dominic Cruz.
They've fought him like eight times.
It took them long enough to figure it out, but you know, it's still, you know, they still figured him out. And I still think TJ Dillashaw won the last fight with him.
I don't.
You know,
I thought Cruz won both of those fights. See, that's where we're different.
Yeah, on the last one, I thought TJ won.
But, see, yeah, I had Cruz winning TJ and Cody.
But. And actually, I had Uriah winning one of the fights with
Cruz. I had Uriah beating, yeah, I had him beating Dominic on that one. I think
it was in the first one?
Second one.
Or the second one. Oh, yeah, because the first one he armbarred him. Yeah. The second one, I had him in that one. But
dropped him. No, it was the third one. Did he fight three times or two?
He did fight three times. It's been so long,
man. It was the third one because he dropped him. Well, like three or four times.
Even in the second one, Uriah Faber had longer hair, and he when he was moving, like Cruz was missing punches, and Faber would move his head back, and his hair would move, and it looked like he got hit.
Yeah,
and like you're even watching the tape, like you know people are watching it in slow mo. They're like, oh, he didn't hit him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he missed him. Oh, he missed him. But you know.
Yeah, whatever. he got shafted. I definitely believe. But yeah, I'm with you on that.
But whatever.
I'm not even a Cruz fan.
Oh, me neither.
He's annoying.
He is super annoying. I like him less and less.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that for sure.
Okay,
card. But so the rest of this card stacks up like this: Benson Henderson, Syed Awad in the co-main event. That's a great fight. Talk about two excellent 155 pound or 170 pound, whatever they're fighting at in this one. I don't know.
I think it's 55.
Yeah, wherever they decide to go, I believe it's 55. Man, what a matchup. I'm excited to see that one.
Yeah, Awad's on a tear right now.
Yeah, and, you know, Ben Henderson, you know, he's one of those guys you absolutely can never count him out, ever, you know?
Like, yeah, he looked great against Roger Huerto. He got that finish. It looked like he got back, you know, back to his own ways. Like that. Mm-hmm. He said that he wanted to be, you know, more aggressive, a little bit more meaner, and I think it showed in his last fight, so... But I mean, Syed Awad, he's a dangerous striker. He hits hard. He's lanky. He's tall. He's big for the weight class.
Mm-hmm. He can take a shot too.
Yeah, his jits isn't bad. You know, I don't know. I'm a homer for Bendo. So I you know that's who I'm pulling for.
Yeah, I feel like if Benson can put him down and get him on his back, I feel like Syed Awad will try to go for submission instead of getting back up. And I don't think it'll pan out very well for him.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe through two rounds, and in the third round he tries to get up and strike with him, but Benson holds him against the cage and kicks him in the calves and walks away with a 30-27 on all three cards and cashes that check.
I really do.
That's my guess. You also have Chet Congo and Timothy Johnson on this card. I watched that fight, even though Chet Congo can be in a kind of a boring fight.
I got Johnson.
Yeah, right.
It's the dude with the
mustache.
Yeah.
I love him. I love him. Tim Johnson, he's on a first name basis with his butcher. You know what I mean? Like he's that kind of guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He mows his lawn with a push mower. He moves rocks in a wheelbarrow. He's that guy. I love him. I think if he can avoid the takedown from Congo, that'll be a fun fight.
Well, he's a like an All-American or great wrestler.
Yeah, but Chet Congo's most of his success has come getting people on the ground.
Yeah, but he's French, so
I and just also. Chuck Hongo's getting up there. I mean, dude is 43 years old.
It is so weird.
Isn't
like,
that weird?
Just looking at fighter, like, fuck, man, time does go by fast because you're like, oh, shit, they're that old. Like, I don't know.
I think he must have got to start late in his,
something,
in,
yeah,
in his life because he just doesn't feel like he's been fighting for that long. Well,
black don't crack, too.
You got that going for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that'll be a good couple of good fights. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is Timothy Johnson's first fight with Bellator.
Yeah, it is.
After leaving the UFC. I mean, it's not like he had a bad run in the UFC. He just went win-loss a lot. He win-loss, 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 win. So he's, you know, 4-3 in the UFC. I'm surprised they let him walk, you know?
I think he did that on his own. I remember reading something weird like that. Like, yeah, he didn't want to be at the UFC anymore because it was, they weren't, you know, typical UFC shit. Typical, yeah, fighter UFC stuff.
I guess. At the same time, I mean, obviously, I think go to Bellator. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to offer you, well, equal, yeah, or better money, yeah, and you're going to be able to get sponsorship, mm-hmm, even though, as we've seen, for some people, that's not always the best deal. Sometimes, yeah, that Reebok deal sounds sweet early on.
Yeah.
But Tim Johnson's an established fighter, you know. He's got the UFC, oh, yeah, career, you know, 7 fights in the UFC. I think someone's going to be willing to give him a little bit of money.
Oh, for sure. That was part of his bargaining for,
yeah, you know?
So, and I guarantee he's making good money.
And I think in Bellator, you walk in there with 7 fights in the UFC coming in as this heavyweight tournament is closing up. Mm-hmm. If you can come in there and make a statement against a guy like Chet Congo, you're right in line to, yeah, you know, be one of the guys they're talking about facing whoever the winner is, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
See what happens. I think it's good, but yeah, that'll be a good weekend of fights, you know. So if you want to plan your whole weekend around fights and then football on Sunday, you got a home run there.
You're living the dream.
Yeah.
You're living the dream, kid.
Yeah. Like 6 years ago, I don't think I'd have left my house. That would have been like a perfect weekend, right?
I would never leave my house, so.
Yeah, I don't really leave that often, yeah, either.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
But you got a big, nice house like this.
Yeah, oh, shit, ballin'. Oh, man.
Ballin'. Bank owns me. But let's talk about what people want to talk about. Everybody wants to talk about the UFC 229 from this weekend.
Oh yeah,
we had a great night of fights. There were some awesome fights.
Yep,
card was great. You had the big fight everybody's been talking about. Undefeated UFC lightweight champion Khabib Nurmagomedov taking on the former lightweight champion, never lost his belt, Conor McGregor.
Yep.
You know, he's the number one commodity out there. He's what everybody wants. They all want to see McGregor fight.
Yep.
Finally get a chance to see these two go, you know, go in there, do their thing. I think it went the way a lot of people assumed it would go.
Yeah.
With Nurmagomedov getting the win over Conor in a relatively dominant fashion.
Yeah.
Although Conor's takedown defense looked better, I think, than some people expected it to look.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. I mean,
more on that in a minute.
Yeah,
good fight. You also had in the co-main event, you have ugly Tony Ferguson against Anthony Pretty Tony Pettis.
All right,
you know, you have a fight there that people wanted to see just because Tony Ferguson, he had been stripped of the 155 pound interim title. Was it
interim.
So they gave him the interim strap, and then we were supposed to see Tony Ferguson versus Nurmagomedov, and Ferguson blew out his knee, so he's back here off of a full reconstruction, and he looked good in his fight. You also had undefeated light heavyweight prospect Dominic Reyes go in there against Ovince St. Preux. Another fun fight. We had the king of Instagram, Derek the Black Beast Lewis, in there against former Bellator heavyweight champion Alexander Volkov.
Oh, was he a champ?
Yep.
I didn't know he
was. Sure was.
Are you sure?
Yep, positive.
Okay.
And you have Michelle Watterson and Felice Herring. Just a great, man, it was a great night of fights.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining about any one of those fights.
No, they're all good, man. I mean, I thought the Watterson and Herring fight was kind of boring, you know, but yeah. I mean, it's expected with women's MMA.
I think.
I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Clearly.
There's some good girls.
I think watching those two fight, it was clear that it was more competitive than some people thought it would be.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I believed it would be more competitive, but, you know, like, I can understand why some people felt maybe Watterson was just going to go in there and dominate. I get it.
I didn't,
even though
I
believe Felice Herrig was like a minus 145 favorite, which is weird.
She was a favorite. I didn't get that either. She's on the hot streak, man.
She's 4-1 in her last five.
All of her wins are very underwhelming. She's just an underwhelming fighter to me. I don't know what it is. I think she's cute. She's, you know, she's got the body and all that. But when it comes down to fighting, it's just something. She needs to just lift weights and do that. I don't think
Keep
she's that
a
good.
Fitness model.
I don't think she's a good fighter.
I think her problem is that she doesn't seem specifically good in any one area.
Yeah, like, that's called a terrible fighter.
I'm
just kidding.
Yeah.
She's not terrible. She's a competent fighter, but I don't know. I'm not sold on her.
I feel like, you know, in a world where you either have to be super well-rounded or you have to be pretty well-rounded and really good at one thing, she's just pretty well-rounded. You know what I mean? Like, she just doesn't have the specialty to fall back on, even though she has the Muay Thai background. I don't look at her fights and go, oh, her Muay Thai is super excellent. You know what I mean?
You would never even guess that there was anything Muay
exactly.
Thai about her.
You watch Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and you watch Valentina Shevchenko. You watch them fight, and you're like, oh, those two know how to kickbox. Like,
even Michelle Watterson, like she actually has, you know, some weird kicks and some good strikes. She, you know, foot slapped her a couple times. Okay, I get you're saying, she's well-rounded in the sense that she's not good in any area, but...
Not great in any area.
I would say that she's well-rounded as in everything is like a C- to a D+ in all areas.
I think it's a little better than that. I think giving her... I mean, I get where you're coming from.
She's not a good... She can't... Like, when does she ever, like, really take people down outside of muscling them down? Right? When is she ever, like, when she's on top, like, what does she do besides hold them down? It's not like she postures up and lands very many strikes. It's not like she submits people very well. Like, maybe on the regional scene, she did all right. And then when you look at her striking, too, it's like, it's almost non-existent.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest problem is she has some pretty notable wins, but her losses are more notable than her wins. Do you know what I mean? Like, she has... She has wins over some established fighters, but her losses come against people that are at that next level, and I don't think she's ever going to get there.
She'll be a gatekeeper.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I feel okay when you say a C. I don't think she's a D fighter. I think she's better than that.
A D+.
It depends on where you rank the top of the heap, but her losses come to former champions, Barb Honchak, Carla Esparza, Tisha Torres. She's had a loss to Karolina Kovalkiewicz, former champion Michelle Watterson. And then her one like really bad loss is the one to Paige VanZant.
Yeah.
Like other than that, she's got wins over Alexa Grasso, Kayla Curran, Lisa Ellis, Heather Jo Clark. Like she has like wins over fighters who are good, but they're not. Well, in terms of where she's at, they're decent fighters. You know, I mean, Alexa Grasso at one time was considered, you know, they expected her to be something special.
I'm not saying this to be a dick. I honestly don't know who any of those people are.
Yeah, but you're not that into women's MMA,
that
right?
That is true. So that is true.
So it's hard.
That is true.
Hard to make that comparison. That's I'm just true. Saying, like she's good. She's not great, and I don't see her taking that next step. Like I just don't see it.
I just whenever I watch, my problem is when I watch women's MMA, I compare it to men all the time. Like I keep them on the same playing field. I don't know if that's fair or if that's not fair. But when I watch fighters fight, I go, if these were men, right, like technique wise, not, you know, strength or whatever, would she be successful? Would she be in the UFC? No.
I see where you're going with it. My problem is I have to think of it in terms of how old women's MMA is versus how old, you know, MMA for men is.
Yeah.
And if you go in terms of generation, like okay. where we're at,
yeah,
if you took them and you looked at that talent pool versus the men's talent pool back
so
then,
like
you
back
would see,
in what age or what era would you say, like Matt Hughes championship or a little
yeah,
bit less?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe like early Ultimate Fighter.
Okay.
Like, you know, there are guys, I think about fighters who were like in the UFC who were considered mm-hmm. good fighters, like Elvis Sinisek. Elvis Sinisek is not a good
fighter. Yeah, yeah, I remember that was
you
a big deal.
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And dudes were, I mean, you know, dudes were getting in the UFC off of fights they had on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
point.
Like, I look at that and I look at where they are and I feel like they're ahead of that curve. Granted, there are less of them is the other problem, right? There are far less than there
That's
are
true.
Men fighters. So. Yeah. You know, there's a lot to consider, but we're, you know, again, we
I'm only rough on it just because, you know, I just get so mad when you see all these journalists and stuff when they talk about it as if it's this big, like, fucking spectacle. And I almost feel like sometimes women MMA gets more shine than fucking than the men, you know? And I feel like it's just, I don't know, maybe I'm jealous.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm a bitter old man.
Well, it was a good fight. Michelle Watterson's ground and pound looked really, really good.
She looked good in general. I mean, even on her back, you know, she was throwing those elbows. She was just busy from not, you know, from start to finish.
100%. I mean, I think she won every round, even when she was down. Certainly. To me, she won every round.
One judge even gave her a 10-8 round.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the scoring in that fight.
Yeah.
I was really pleased with it.
It's crazy. I think Dave Hagen was there actually.
Dave Hagen was there.
Yeah,
I saw him.
I always catch him. I'm like, there's Dave.
I know. I saw him too. I was like, hey, that's Dave Hagen.
Yeah.
But yeah, her ground and pound looked strong. It was a good fight.
What do you think's next for her?
Oh.
She's had a couple good wins, right?
Yeah, she's had a couple. Where's she at right now? She had Courtney Casey and Felice Herrig. I think for her
last loss was
Tisha
Rose?
Torres.
Oh, she lost to Tisha?
She did, and to Rose.
Oh.
So she lost back to back.
Okay,
and so I think she would probably love to get a rematch with Tisha Torres, and I think that makes sense for her to try to pursue it anyway. You know, Tisha Torres is coming off of two losses, so, you know, you know, get a little heat. Get in there. That might not be bad. I mean, it's tricky. It really depends. It really depends heavily on where they want the title picture to be. And does Jean Jacek move divisions? Like, what's going to happen exactly?
Did she ever fight Carla?
No.
I know Carla's on a little bit of a skid, but I mean that. I think they were supposed to fight a couple times back in Invicta. No.
I think they were. I don't know if they ever did fight. I don't think they did.
Well, you heard it here first.
There you go. Yeah,
either
that would
Torres
be a good one.
Or Carla Esparza.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
See, I do know a little bit of women.
Yeah, there you go.
I know like four of them.
I mean, that'd be an interesting one. One of the fights that got the most attention on this card was the Derek Lewis Alexander Volkov fight.
Hell yeah.
Basically, Derek Lewis was getting stomped through about 14 minutes and 50 seconds of this fight.
Man.
I mean, Volkov seemingly could have put the fight away at any moment. And with like 11 seconds left in the fight, Derek Lewis decides to make a last-ditch effort to throw a combination.
Yep.
And
it's crazy, man.
That's all she wrote, folks.
Well, it's beautiful because, you know, his coaches in the corner were like, look, man, you're down two rounds. He's like, you got to go for fucking broke, man. You know, he's just like, go out there and just kill or be killed. And that's what he's yelling, kill or be killed. And, you know, Derek Lewis, he was tired. And you know, he literally didn't do anything for 4 minutes. He just started getting punched in the face. And, you know, every time he got the eye tagged, he would just curl up.
Mm-hmm.
10 seconds left, homeboy decided to throw more than one punch. And then, bow, just fucking cross-eyed fucking Volkov. It was beautiful.
Dude, and then had him out cold on the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's no controversy to that stoppage, no nothing. He fucking... I love the Black Beast, man.
I love him too. After the fight, he does what only Derek Lewis can do.
Yeah.
Takes his shorts off.
Yeah.
Decides he's just going to do his interview in his underwear. I mean, granted, his underwear looked like most people's fight trunks. You know, they were like tight-fitting boxer briefs or whatever, or like compression shorts, basically. And they make him put his shorts back on.
You know, I was actually planning on doing that. for after one of my next, like my next fight. I was just taking off my pants just to like, you know, stir it up. And then,
so. Of course he beat you to it.
Of course, man. But it was, I mean, I probably wouldn't have the balls to do it, honestly, but it was like a talk between me and like,
it's not
Ryan
the balls
Walker.
You need, bro.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think it was, I was going to use it as like a ball wash, kind of like,
oh, that would
like,
be fun.
Yeah. It was like, I had the idea to do it for that. Like one of those kind of things, but you know,
yeah, well,
I can't do it now. Derek Lewis, that's all him, buddy.
That's his thing. He owns that. That's his intellectual property.
He takes it off because his balls are hot, you know. Then the fights before that, he had to go take a boo-boo.
Yep.
This is the best dude. He's my fucking... I told everyone when I was watching the party, I was like, look, I have this rule where if I meet other fighters, I don't take pictures with them unless, you know, we got done training. Mm-hmm. Derek Lewis, I will make an exception.
Hell yeah.
Derek Lewis. And I may even make one for Khabib now.
Right.
Because there's a chance I might see him next week.
Even though recently you kind of talked a little smack on him.
Well, he gave me ringworm, man. You know.
Well, and he opened the door. To
yeah,
the,
and he was fucking
sauna.
Up our sauna. But you know, when you drop kick fucking Dylan Danis in the face, you got my respect.
Well, Derek Lewis gave a great post fight interview. If you haven't seen it, you can find it online. And It was just vintage Derek Lewis, and
dude, he's like,
I can't get
he's
enough
anomaly.
Of him. He needs to be on TV or doing something.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if he existed in the Pride era? Man, he would have been so goddamn famous in Japan.
Oh yeah. He'd be set for life there.
Oh my God. It would have been incredible.
You know, another thing that's great, a lot of people know, is you know, when Texas had the whole flood and stuff like that, he was going out there saving, you know, grabbing people with his truck or his mm-hmm. boat. You know, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good
dude.
I
would love to see like a almost like a Robin Big type show around Derek Lewis.
Yeah,
that'd be dope.
That would be awesome.
This motherfucker says he only trains an hour a day. An hour a day.
Kind of looks like it.
Yeah. He's like, yo, man, I can barely go three rounds. I ain't ready for no title fight. I only train an hour a day. He's cool where he's at. He's fine with it.
I wish he would just take it serious and train a little bit harder. I mean, I'd love to see him, you know, really, really put in a full, you know, a full intense training camp and get with a camp that, you know, can kind of improve your skills. Cause I feel like he's plateaued. Like what else is he going to do?
He's made a lot of improvements. Though.
He has made a lot of improvements from when he first started. But even now, I mean, in this fight, mm-hmm. like in this fight, how he looked in this fight does not make me think he's going to go win a UFC title. It doesn't make me feel like he's going to beat any of the guys in the top three, whoever they are.
But he has though. Francis Ngannou. Right, call it what you want.
Yeah,
he was able to win that one. Right,
yeah, but that's like his biggest win.
Well, Volkov is a big one too. Well, Roy Nelson.
Now I know, but I'm saying Volkov, like you get the win in the last however many seconds. But I mean, we're here talking about
Volkov is a killer though.
Volkov is a killer, but if you have knockout power, you can win a fight at the end of a fight. I mean, think about Scott Smith versus Pete Sell back at whatever that was.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
you're getting your ass whooped, and then you turn around and you crack a dude as they're coming in. I mean, you're going to get the win, but does that make you a better fighter? No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yes. Just agree with me, because that's probably going to happen a lot with me. So just agree.
I disagree.
That's how I win fights, is I just knock people out.
Well, but I don't feel like you're sitting there taking punish. Like,
yeah,
like,
I know. I know what you're saying.
Fight
yeah,
for 14
I got
minutes
you.
And 49 seconds.
If they have
man.
A rematch, it probably would not go the same way.
You know what I'm
I
saying?
Agree. Agree.
Well, maybe Derek Lewis goes out there and says, you know what? I needed to throw combinations earlier. Maybe it's better for him.
Maybe.
You know? But we wouldn't know, because he doesn't go fucking train more than a half an hour a day.
My only thing is, everyone that he's fought so far, he's been competitive, right?
That's true.
Travis Brown, he was able to beat that. Even though it was a decline, Travis Brown, but at the point during that time, Travis Brown was a fucking big deal.
What fight was it that he was gassing so hard? Was it Roy Nelson? And he was just like hands on his hips. Like,
I don't know if it was a Nelson fight, because the Nelson fight, they were throwing leather.
Yeah. But then one, man, I don't remember which fight it was. I mean, he just looked like he was dying out there. But
yeah,
nevertheless. We both agree. Derek Lewis is the shit. Go follow him
for
on
sure.
Instagram and Twitter and anything that he's doing.
I really hope he goes on Joe Rogan and get high with him.
I would love to see him go on Joe Rogan. That would be awesome. I
can't believe you said that too on the mic.
I know. Go listen to the interview, people. It's great.
I guess it is acceptable now, right? Like fighters getting high. I guess.
Apparently. Co-main event of this card, Tony Ferguson, Anthony Pettis. This fight also kind of went the way I think people expected it to go. Tony Ferguson put a pretty firm ass beating on Anthony Pettis, with the exception of one pretty devastating shot Pettis landed that Tony Ferguson reacted to by just doing random somersaults. Like, oh, this is how I'll get out of this. I'll just do somersaults everywhere and flip and flop around. Look like a goddamn dying fish out there. What the fuck?
You know,
that's one way to deal with getting rocked.
There's this guy on Twitter, right? He's I think he's a writer or something. Called himself like Big Tony or some shit. Anyways, I got so goddamn mad at his tweet because he's like, that was very underwhelming from shit Tony Ferguson. He's like, he was saying that Anthony Pettis was winning that fight and was tagging Tony Ferguson up until that stoppage.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
I swear to God, I went, what? I was like, he goes, if Anthony Pettis didn't break his hand, he would have won.
Pettis didn't break his hand, he would have got beaten in the third round senseless.
I'm telling you this right now. They didn't stop the fight because his hand was broken.
Fuck no, they didn't. He was scared to go back out.
He was out on his feet because before he says anything about his hand, what's his name says, hey, he's like, are you going to be able to fucking go out there and give me something, or do I need to call this? Because he was a pinata out there.
And he had to ask him three fucking times if he wanted to fight.
You know,
I mean, but this showcases why I think Duke Rufus is one of the best corner men in the business. Like, he called the fight for Pettis because Pettis wouldn't do it, and he knew that his fighter was done.
Yeah, but I'm with you on that. But, you know, I think it's annoying that now people are going to be like, oh, if he didn't break his hand, because, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention. He got fucked up, man.
Bullshit.
He got fucked up.
How many, look, I get it. If you break your hand and you don't want to go back in there and fight, totally get it.
Yeah.
Totally get it. Now, if this is a fight where you were up two rounds, would you go back in there and try to fight in that third round? I have a feeling you would.
Yeah. Holtzman broke both of his hands.
Exactly. And Pettis knows that he's losing that fight. I mean, he's down on all scorecards. Yeah. He knows that he's losing that fight. What's the point in him going back out there if his best weapon is broken, right?
Yeah.
That's the problem. So he doesn't expect that he can get in there and win it in the third round. But if he was up two rounds, he probably would have got right up and went in there.
Yeah, he would have coasted it for sure.
But you're getting your ass beat, man.
Isn't it weird that Pettis has kind of gotten away from his kicks?
It's so weird.
Yeah, like he started early with the kicks and they were fucking Tony's knee is not ready. It's not ready to come back yet. Like, regardless of the way it was when he got hit with those couple of kicks, it showed.
Dude, right out of the gate.
Yeah,
didn't look good.
No, if he would have kept with that, it maybe would have been talking a different fight. Which I'm glad it didn't, because I talked a lot of shit about Pettis before this. I got nervous for a second. I said, "Oh fuck, no, I can't be wrong." But like I said, man, I think he's done. He's washed. I don't think he has it in him anymore. I think he has enough money to where, you know, when it comes down to fighting, you don't have that killer instinct in you where I need that extra whatever his bonus was, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I think the turn for him, I mean, really, I think the turn came in that Gilbert Melendez fight. Even though he gets the win in that fight, he is very fortunate that he sunk that choke in that fight.
Yeah.
The way Gilbert Melendez was you know, just kind of roughnecking him a little bit, you know, it just seemed like you could see in his face that he realized the game was changing.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't working for him.
Which is crazy to think. Like, I would have thought
he's been fighting for a long time.
But I know, but it seemed like he was so innovative and so ahead of, you know, it kind of seemed like he was ahead of the curve. Like, with his, you know, flashy shit that he does, which is, I think it's fucking annoying now whenever he does it because it doesn't work. But like, I just always thought, like, maybe, you know, I thought he would have a little bit more longevity, you know?
Maybe, but, you know, the thing you got to remember is his best run, like really his best run, came between, like, I mean, I genuinely don't think his championship run is part of his best performances.
Like,
his fight against Ben Henderson, I think, was the fight where he wins with the armbar against Ben Henderson to win the UFC title. I think it was kind of weird and a little bit of a fluke.
Yeah.
And then his fight against Gilbert Melendez, again, I think Melendez just was working him and figured he'd be able to get out of the choke, but mm-hmm. he couldn't. And so, again, he gets kind of lucky there. But he goes up after that, and, you know, he doesn't look great against Dos Anjos, and then Eddie Alvarez comes in and takes a split decision from him, and then Edson Barbosa takes the decision from him. I mean, his best fights really happened between, like, 2009 and 2000 and maybe 11, mm-hmm. really, 2012, 13 even, because he did have that fight against Donald Cerrone, but if you think back how long ago that is, yeah. we're now in 2018. And if you think of that run through the 2010, I mean, that's 8 years ago. That's how a long old is time.
He? Well, only like he's 32.
He's not that old, but he has a lot of fights for his age. Yeah. I mean, he's 31 years old, but he's got 30 fights.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, he's got 30 fights, and he's been fighting since like 2007. It's been that's a long run. You know, he's been fighting over 10 years.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the decline of a lot of guys who you expect to be good. You know, Donald Cerrone, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a ton of fights, and you know what happens? Yeah. You know, that, I mean, that's just the way it is.
That's the way the fucking cookie crumbles, huh?
That's right.
I'm going to bake some cookies tonight. I'm going to go get Taco Bell and bake cookies.
Oh man, you are not in fight camp. Look at you.
No, I'm in fucking cookies. Rehab camp. I can do whatever I want.
Hey, how'd you fuck up your thumb, by the way?
It's not really a good story.
Okay.
But it's
Is it broken or just swollen?
No. I think it was just jammed really bad.
Yeah.
Because like the way like the bottom of the base is, that happened in a fight for King of the Cage a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And that was never broken either. That's calluses or something.
Yeah, I saw the pictures online. I just saw the picture. You're like, look at this.
It was stuck like that for a while, just like bent, and then it had this weird curve in the middle, and I was like, fuck, maybe I broke it. But essentially what happened is, so I was watching my girl's dog while she was at school or something, and I have my dog, Bro. He's a mini bull terrier, and you know, he's a very great, he's a loving dog. He's amazing, right? When it's just us.
I was gonna say, this sounds like Bro is not being that
well that everything cool. This was funny is because I took a snap of Bro and Reggie kind of like laying down together. I was like, oh cool, look, they're finally getting along, like they don't give a fuck. And then you know, everything was fine, like Bro even was letting him play with his toys and shit. So Bro, but Reggie, her dog is like a, I don't know what he is, he's like a mix, mini Aussie husky or something, but like he's maybe barely a year.
He's little. It's a puppy still.
Yeah, he's still young, right? And Bro, he's about six. So he's an old man, right? And he's going over, and he went to go drink some water. While he's drinking water, Reggie thought like, hey, let me go fuck with you. And he thought that would be a great idea. And Bro kind of just, Bro didn't even make a noise. He kind of just slowly turned and looked at him. And I'm standing like 20 feet away. And he just fucking grabs him. Her dog's way bigger than Bro. Slams him down. Boom. I was like, oh shit. I panicked. So I grabbed Bro. And I went to go pull him off, like I threw him like across my body, and my wall was right there. So like I let go, and like the follow through, my hand, boom, right into the wall, and just.
So you're breaking up a mini dog fight.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was just me, Doom, and then bap, and I just, yeah, that was it. That's literally that's all it fucking was. And I was like, God damn it, Bro.
Are you okay to go back out there?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. All right.
Dude, I have not been able to.
This fight's over.
Look how fucking.
Yeah, it's ugly. It's
bruised up and stuff. I wouldn't fight anybody like this.
No. Not
especially
good.
Especially if I'm getting beat up for 2 rounds.
So you're saying Anthony Pettis is justified in not going back out there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, but I would call it like it is.
Yeah. Well, that was a good fight for Tony Ferguson. You know, gets to test the knee, gets to come back, gets to show that he can come back through adversity after the shot.
He single-handedly killed the post-fight press conference.
Yeah.
It was because like I went to go tune in. I was like, fuck yeah, I can't
wait.
Yeah,
everybody wanted to see the post-fight press
conference. I'm sitting there, and it's Tony holding his own like press conference by himself, standing up there in his fucking suit going on and basically referring to himself in the third person. He's like, you all don't want to see me with a big head. You don't want to see me get a big head. If I had a bit, I fucking don't like him. I don't like him. I don't know how he has friends. I don't know how he has a wife. I don't know how he has kids. I don't get it. I don't know how anyone finds him acceptable and was like, yeah, you can put your penis in me.
Well, Jake, when a man loves a woman.
No.
No?
No. This woman, hats off to her. She can fucking deal with him. Because if this is him, like, being, like, himself, like, honestly, it's not a gimmick. It's not a thing. A shtick. He's a fucking weirdo.
I think it's pretty well confirmed that he's a fucking weirdo. Most people say that, so...
I wonder what it was. I wonder all the shit they didn't show on The Ultimate Fighter.
I will say, Joe Rogan posted kind of like a little like lovey dovey Instagram tweet towards him that felt like very Eminem, Dr. Dre kind of creepy. You know?
Yeah.
I was just like, Joe Rogan, come on, man. Like, well, I know he's your friend, but come on, it was a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You know, he's whatever. A
weirdo.
But good fight.
I do like watching him fight. Other than that,
me too, man. I
just don't like
fights.
Him talking.
I still want to see him fight Khabib.
You know,
although
that would be interesting.
I think he'd be more competitive than Conor and Nurmi.
Yeah, I think. Let's jump into this, huh?
And we get to the main event.
Let's do it.
So, main event: Khabib, Conor, everybody's. Everybody's hype about this fight. We get out there and get what most people expected. You know what I said. I said I thought Conor was going to use Counter-Strike as Khabib came in and knock him out. That's what my big worry was. But Conor proved me wrong, because instead of using his counter-punching when Khabib came in, he tried to use counter-wrestling, which kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
It kind of blew my mind. I feel like... In this fight, if Conor had focused on his striking as opposed to focusing on his takedown defense, it might have been a better fight for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to say, right? I mean, well, first off, we got to give credit where credit's due for Conor, right? 2 years off.
Two years off, for sure.
Jumping into the, you know, into the deep end like that, that's crazy. No tune-up fight, no nothing. He's just like, fuck it, let's just do it. Like, even Dominic Cruz had a tune-up fight, right?
Mm-hmm. But Dominic Cruz doesn't believe in ring rest. He didn't need one.
Anyways. fuck Dominic Cruz. Anyways.
Dominic Cruz.
Everything Joe Rogan said, he said the opposite. Like at, I know, I'm sorry, I'm going off a tangent, but brought up Dominic. At one point, he was talking about... OSP being like switching his stances, and then Dominic's like, yeah, you know, he's not very good defensively that way, because when he's southpaw he's better defensively, when he's right and da da da, that's why he's getting tagged up. And then Jordan goes, yeah, when he's in a southpaw position, he throws his left kick is very, very fast, it's very hard and da da da, like he's like, and then you hear Dominic Cruz go, that's offensive, not defensive, Joe. Like, he wasn't competing with you on it. He was just adding on to the fuck what you were saying, and fuck Dominic Cruz.
Yeah,
all right?
Fuck Dominic Cruz. I like that there were a couple times where he asked Joe his opinion, like, well, Joe, when it comes to sport jujitsu, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, come on, bro. Like, yeah, he's really, a douche, don't be so passive aggressive, you fucking dick.
But I did love that during the Khabib and Conor fight, Joe finally had enough. And because fucking Dominic Cruz is like, oh no, he's just trying to tire out Khabib here. He's just trying. Joe's like, I don't think he's trying to tire him out. I think he's getting smashed right now. And and then Dominic kind of just like kind of shut up a little bit. Yeah. But anyways, I forgot what I was even talking about.
He, as I've said a million times, he's great as an analyst, not as a commentary man.
Yeah, not a color.
Put him behind a table somewhere.
Put him
let
on
him
Fox.
Break
yeah.
things down. He's great at that.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking awesome. Yeah. He's awesome at that. I'll watch him do that all day.
He should do what Robin Black does.
Yeah.
Rogue. He should do that for the UFC. Since they won't let Robin Black do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he shouldn't be a color commentator.
No, not at all.
I like DC on there. I think
DC
gets along.
Too.
Because he's a friendly guy. He can
and
get
he
along.
And Rogan
with
have a better rapport.
Yeah. There's no. Yeah.
Crazy.
Anyways, back to the fight.
Yep.
You know, I think his timing was a little bit off because of the layoff. You know, you can't really open up too much with your strikes when you're going against a wrestler like that, especially the way Khabib first entered in. Like, he just dove in for
he
a
dove
low single.
In, but see, that's kind of what when I assumed that he would be ready for him to do that, and would have a punch ready for that, you know?
See, I didn't
That's what I expected. Yeah. I expected him to be watching tape, having guys shoot in and practicing how I'm going to land a shot when he comes in. I never expected that he would come in and make it difficult for Khabib to get on top of him and get offensive. Because in the first round, Khabib gets the takedown and doesn't really do anything offensive with it. It was difficult for him. It kind of reminded me of Chael Bisping.
Yep.
You know, he did a great job. I mean, I think hats off to Conor in round one, you know, but...
yeah, for sure. I mean, but, you know, I think that also came back to bite him in the ass, though, because he was using so much arm strength.
Oh, totally.
That you can tell that he had no more pop left on his punches.
That's another thing Dominic Cruz mentioned. Oh, well, he isn't using any energy. He's just laying there. Shut the fuck up.
So stupid.
Shut up. Anybody who has ever been in a wrestling match and been on the bottom and couldn't get up, or in jiu-jitsu and hasn't been able to get up, good luck telling me it doesn't use any energy. That's why they do round robins with fresh people on top of you, because you're fucking exhausted. Uh-huh. It's terrible.
Yeah, your muscles fill with blood.
Out of your mind, Dominic Cruz.
Yeah, that fast twitch just becomes non-existent at that point. And, I don't know. Did you see the Joe Rogan with Kavanaugh? Is it not Kavanaugh? That's the guy who did the raping. What's his coach's name? John
Kavanaugh.
Is it really? Yeah. Kavanaugh?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Same guy.
Oh, shit, dude. Is it really Kavanaugh?
Not the same guy, but it's...
But is it really Kavanaugh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. Well, he was on Joe Rogan today. I don't know if you saw it.
Really?
Yeah. He was on it. I did not know that. Yeah, they were talking. You know, they talk a little bit about the fight, but he was kind of deflecting a little bit, I felt like.
Why would you go on there if you weren't going to talk about the fight?
Well, I mean, there were...
Were they just talking about the melee the fight?
It was John Kavanaugh and then George Lockhart, the nutritionist guy.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was kind of like, I think it was originally supposed to be Lockhart. And then they're just like, oh, well, you worked with Connor too. So, you know, you kind of, it was a weird podcast. But anyways, he was talking about their strategy. You know, he's like, oh, you know, I think I was a little bit I was thinking too defensively for the game plan. And, you know, instead of offensively. And they talked about how they didn't bring in any wrestlers really, and that, you know, he wouldn't change that because he felt like there are good wrestlers still there. It kind of made me go, oh, are we going to get into a Ronda fucking, whatchamacallit situation where maybe Connor needs to change up his camp? Because it didn't seem like they had a very good strategy going into this fight.
See, the thing about Connor is I don't think he would be afraid to change up his camp.
No, I don't think he... I think, you know what I mean? I think he's... No, I think complete opposite.
Yeah, he would welcome it.
No. I'm saying I think he stays. He's that loyal, I think.
Yeah,
he
he's loyal, but I don't think... What I'm saying is I don't think he's afraid to try something different in his training camp. If Kavanaugh said, hey, man, I'm going to call in, you know, so-and-so to come over here and wrestle with you, I think this is a good idea.
No. I'm
like, hell yeah.
Yeah. No, I meant
where,
like,
Ronda would be like, oh, I don't want someone better than me to be here.
No, that's not what I meant. Okay, I thought you were saying him leaving.
Oh, no, Kevin. Not at all. I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm saying he might need to leave, because the way that homeboy was talking about the strategy and shit, I think John Kavanaugh is not what everyone thinks he is. I think Connor is just a special athlete.
Yeah.
And he was able to have the right matchups. But now we're getting to a point where, you know, when he breaks down what the game plan was, I don't know.
He's outgrown the coach, you're saying?
I think so. Me personally. I mean, who has fucking SBG, whatever? Who else do they have?
Yeah.
Artem?
That's a good point.
15 and fucking 17?
Well, they have, what's his name? The, God damn it, I'm blanking on his name.
Gallagher, right?
No. Another guy in the UFC. God damn it. He's very stoic. Why am I blanking on his name?
Oh, fucking Nelson? Not Jordy Nelson.
Gunner. Yeah, Gunner Nelson, right?
Yeah, right? Even Gunner Nelson's like a little underwhelming. A
little bit. But I mean, he was good.
He's okay.
For a time.
I mean, it's sure.
I can see where you're going with that.
I just sense. I just felt like what he was saying was kind of stupid.
Yeah. I'll give it a listen. I still think if they rematch, I think you'll see Connor be more aggressive with his punches and less focused in on trying to avoid the takedown
and
by stuffing it. I think he'll try to use lateral movement and punches. Yeah.
I think if he's more aggressive, I think it's even worse.
Maybe. I mean, but
that's,
I don't,
that's,
I don't
where
think,
the openings come, you know?
I mean, if they fight 10 times, I mean, he wins maybe one of them.
Yeah, I fuck, barely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Khabib is that good.
Yeah, I mean, and he has, you know, I think he has a better chin than people want to give him credit for. I don't think Conor has a good chin at all.
Yeah. I mean, he took Khabib's best shot, for sure.
Khabib's known for not dropping people.
No, that's
right?
True. That's a good point.
He's got dropped by Nate. He also got fucked up by Mayweather. He's been taking a lot more damage than people are thinking about or contributing to. I mean, he took it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's starting to add up now.
Yeah, yeah. And people want to look at the positives with him. They don't want to look at the negatives. You know, they want to look at how good he is, and they want to look at, you know, the machine that comes along
exactly.
with him.
Exactly.
You know, that's for
yeah.
sure.
Well, another thing in the interviews, we're talking about his sparring, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he brings in other people from other camps, it's a fight. He doesn't, it's not a, you know, we're working. No, that's, yeah, that's what you're saying is he's like, oh yeah, I let them know. I can't do a fucking Irish accent. But he's saying, I let the people know basically that, hey, Conor's going to try to put you out. So, you know, go out there and fight him. So he's fighting people in his camps, you know, and they try to say, oh yeah, but he only spars, you know, maybe once every 4 to 8 days or something, or it just depends how you're feeling and da, 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 da. But when you're hearing stuff like this, I definitely think, at least this is what I'm picking up. I think there's some stuff that he's leaving out, and I definitely think, I'll see Conor. I think Conor gets knocked out within his next 2 or 3 fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope, I mean, it seems unlikely since this fight did so well and made so much money already.
Mm-hmm.
It seems unlikely that their rematch won't be the next fight.
If it happens.
It'll happen.
I mean, the rumor is Khabib's gonna retire.
Nah. No way.
He needs to get his money, which is fucked up that they're holding it.
He's going
to
get his money. He's not going to get all of his money.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to hold it until they decide, you know, what fine they're going to levy on him. And they'll, you know, my guess is, I mean, if I had to guess, I would say, you know, the high end people are calling for $250,000, right? They're saying $250,000.
Yeah.
I think realistically it's going to be a $100,000 fine. He's going to probably get a 6 to 8 month suspension,
yeah,
which doesn't really matter because then he'll just train and then he can fight when he would normally fight anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the UFC is not going to make it easy for him to just walk away. Like, think about how much money he made last night.
Oh,
so
for
his
sure.
disclosed payday is $2 million. That's not counting pay-per-view points. Buys, yep. I just heard a report today that says Conor McGregor has already made $25 million on this fight.
Really?
Yeah. Through the pay-per-view that's been established at this point.
Wow.
And he only had a $3 million payout.
Yep.
So he gets big points on the back end, right?
Yeah.
Khabib gets little points, but he's still making millions for the first time in his career. And you're going to turn around and you're going to have a rematch that's going to do probably even better since you have this melee after the fight that is causing people to lose their fucking minds. So Khabib is not going to retire knowing that he's going to leave, you know, $20 million on the table. You know, there's no fucking way. He's not going to walk away from it. I'd bet my house on it. There's no way. And a fight that he knows he's going to win?
Yeah.
Why would you walk away from that? You know you're going to win the fight. Not only that, you have all the power getting in that cage. You get in that cage, Conor's looking at you, and he knows that you beat his ass.
Yeah.
Like, he knows that. Like, it just seems
wasn't,
crazy.
It wasn't competitive at all.
That's more money. This fight has all, like, in the end, this fight will net the two of them more money than the rest of the entire UFC roster for the year.
Isn't that fucked up?
It's fucking insane. That's insane.
Let's get into the melee part.
All right.
I have my opinion on it, and I want to know yours. I feel like yours is going to be a little bit different than mine.
Yeah.
I feel like you weren't too cool with it.
I don't know. I'm cool with some parts of it.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So the melee, if you haven't watched the fight, you've watched it. If you're listening to this, you've watched this fight.
It, yeah.
So after the fight, Khabib immediately, you know, starts referencing, you know, whatever to Dylan Danis. He's yelling at him, throws his mouthpiece in his direction, jumps him on the cage, and just gets this little firecracker of an idea, yeah. jumps out of the cage and does a flying foot stomp directly yeah. at Dylan Danis's face.
Beautiful.
Although Dylan Danis landed the better punch of the whole thing.
I mean, okay, sure, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of people in between and stuff.
It's not as exciting, yeah. you know. As the simple punch is not as exciting as a dude yeah. with his arms up, you know, throwing a kick. I saw a great picture side by side. It's Khabib jumping out of the ring and an eagle flying down on his prey. And
oh, it was yeah, like, yeah, I've seen
same.
That. Yeah,
so good.
There's been a few memes. That
oh, no, the memes have been incredible. Yeah. Between that and Derek Lewis, the memes have just been insane. But...
was it I saw the one that was like Eric Khabib and it's just the silhouette like yeah. Eric Jordan.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe he'll use it like Dan Henderson ended up using that you know, the silhouette of him knocking out Michael Bisping
yeah.
as his logo for, you know, ever since then. Maybe Khabib will use it. That would be dope. But you know, like, on one hand I get it, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're fired up, like you're pissed off, you want to fight this guy.
Yeah,
I get it. On the other hand, like, you know, man, I've been in fights as a kid. You know, you get in fights and people call you names, like people talk shit, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, it's just shit talk. And I get it. Like, you come from a different part of the world and you're very sensitive and you don't like when people say things about your family or your mm-hmm. religion. Like, look, man, like... It's not life or death. You know what I mean? It's just not. And so my position is, like, jump out of the cage and yell at him, right? Do like Connor did against Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
And do it to sell the next fight. I get that. But, like, the legitimate animosity to jump out of a cage on television
yeah.
and assault someone. Like, you're a professional fighter and you assault someone. Do you think they're going to, like, give you a slap on the wrist? Like, that's yeah, yeah. that's fucking stupid, man. Like, it's not smart for him to do it. Do I disagree with what he did? Like, yes and no. Like, I get it, you know, in the yeah. heat of the moment. I totally understand that. I can be passionate and get excited about something. I totally get that. Like I understand that. My biggest problem of the whole thing is Khabib's teammate, who the second teammate that mixed it up with Connor. So... Khabib okay. jumps out of the cage. He does the thing, and he starts doing all this yeah. stuff. We now know from a second camera view from the crowd that Connor's up on the cage yelling over the cage, and one of Khabib's corner men or buddies is up on the cage next to him yelling at the people outside of the cage. Connor looks up and sees him and throws a fucking right hand exactly. and punches him.
Exactly.
Well, then that guy gets down and says, "You want to punch me? I'll punch you, fucker," and punches him back. Okay. That's done, right? Like, let's.
Did
call
he
that
punch him though? I saw him get pulled down, and then yeah. I thought it was a different guy on the other side.
Well,
and then someone
he hit
else
him.
Jumped
he
over.
Hit him too. Okay. So they hit each other. No big deal. That should be the end of that. But then, out of nowhere, homeboy in a red shirt
yeah.
comes from the crowd,
yeah.
jumps over the cage, and just tees off on Connor. Sucker yeah. punches him.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, like, bro. Jumping into the cage is far yeah. worse than jumping out of the cage. Yeah. As far as
I don't know
I'm
how
concerned.
He. Well,
like,
I guess I know how he made it because there was that other.
There
scuffle.
Was too much stuff
yeah,
going
too
on.
Much,
there
yeah.
was too much stuff going on, right? Yeah. But like I can't condone the dude in the red shirt who jumps in and attacks Connor. That's just stupid.
Yeah, I get you on that.
Like I can wipe all the rest of it out. Get Khabib back in the cage. Get him in there. Put the belt around him. Dana White not putting the belt around him was
that
ridiculous.
Was bullshit.
Like, it was stupid.
His reasoning, they're going to throw stuff on you.
They're going to
so?
Throw stuff on him anyway.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude. What are you thinking?
Yeah, fuck Dana
you know,
White.
But the other big thing to think about is Khabib is not an American citizen, man. Like, you're here on a work visa, bro. Well, and you just fucking assaulted someone.
No.
Like, that's not smart. So, like the parts that I don't like is that it's not smart. The whole melee itself, I'm into it because it sells round two.
Yeah.
It sells round two all day. And for you, uh-huh. this makes Dylan Danis a bigger star. If you ever get to fight him, that's great for you.
Yeah, which I, you know, that's another story. But so my thing is this, right? So everyone's like, oh, you know, a lot of people are giving Khabib flack for this. But let's not forget who started this
oh,
first.
Yeah.
Let's not forget who mobbed up first. Who attacked who first? This was a premeditated thing. I think this was going to happen from the get-go.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Khabib and all them are probably, you know, sitting around talking like, yeah, after this fight, if I beat him, I'm jumping over, you know. I think they knew some shit was going to pop off, right?
100%.
But I also think after, you know, Khabib does his yelling and he throws on his mouthpiece. Dylan Danis and John Kavanaugh even attested to this, was goading him in. Was talking shit, goading him. So what do you think's gonna? Yeah, you know, you just had this fight. You just smashed homeboy. Mm-hmm. Your adrenaline's going. Another guy wants to fight. Fuck yeah, do it. Let's do it. I just got in a fight. I'm not afraid to fight anybody right now. Mm-hmm. You know. So that Dylan Danis brought that upon himself. So fuck him, right?
Yeah.
And his hair so bothers me.
his whole persona bothers
me. I hate that dude. And then, you know, of course, you brought up the whole punching, you know, the corners or whatever from Conor. Just my whole thing is Conor has brought this upon himself. You know, he wants to act like he's the gangster. He wants to be this gangster guy. But now when it comes down to being the gangster, homeboy is in the ring. There's video of him in the ring going to Khabib saying, it's only business, right? That's what he says in between rounds, like at the end of the round, it's only business. And then Khabib goes, hey, I guess so, right? And then, you know, they separate. So right there, that really shows you, like, Conor already kind of knew, like, oh, fuck, man. Like, he's really mad. I don't know what Khabib was saying to him while he was punching him, but it was something to where it made Conor have to tell him, like, hey, man, it's only business. Hey, chill. So that's already in Conor, like, Conor's
head. Well, Khabib is crazy. We all know that.
It's his country's crazy. Everyone knows you do not fuck around with Islam. You just don't do it. I don't care how badass you think you are or what it is, fucking don't do it, because shit is gonna pop off, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're lucky that's all that happened. We're lucky that, you know, fucking someone didn't get stabbed or there wasn't some weird random explosion, or you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Conor took it to a place where he shouldn't have. He thought he was untouchable. He fucked up. That's the end of the story. He fucked up.
Oh, he fucked up so big time. But
I think it's on him.
You also mentioned that you have to talk about who started it. But
You're going to bring up the whole Artem thing. Okay, but remember, again, they were the ones talking.
Yeah,
he confronted him.
But
there was no scuffle.
No, there reportedly was a scuffle between some of Khabib's dudes and Artem, and they cornered him, and they were kind of fucking with him.
Like, I saw a video where he was sitting there, and he was talking, and he talked to Artem and said, hey, you know, like a man, he was talking to him. And I think he maybe gave him like a little tap on the face.
Sure.
But it wasn't a slap. It was hey.
But those little things add up. And if you're going to say Conor
But why did he do it?
I mean, just shit talk, right? I'm just saying, like,
you got to answer for your words, man.
All those little things add up. I'm just saying, like, the confrontations are what escalated it. I mean, it's still stupid. And the let's point out the number one most obvious thing is Dana White is going to act like this is a big deal. It's the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to get arrested and never fight in the UFC. Yeah. And da, 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 da. But let's not forget the ad for this pay-per-view was Conor, you know,
throwing
dollies through windows, injuring other UFC fighters. You know, it's just absurd. It's completely insane to think that this is something that Dana White's mad about. He's so fucking happy about this. Nobody's more happy about this than Dana White, because they just cut his next commercial for him.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
if you don't think we're gonna see 20 fucking clips of Khabib jumping over the fucking cage in the lead up to the next fight, you're out of your mind. And if you think that Conor's not gonna have Dylan Danis in his corner, you're crazy.
They might not let that happen.
Maybe they'll bar him.
They might not let it,
but he's gonna try.
Yeah, they probably won't let him, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see more of this. I can see this happening for another. I'm not saying for Khabib and Conor. I'm just saying in general now.
In general,
because they're setting a precedent where if you're not going to punish, you're basically rewarding them for these fucking fucked up antics. You rewarded Conor, so Khabib's all right. I'm the champion. Fuck you. Check this shit out. Now you're going to reward him with the, you know, same thing. And everyone's like, oh, this is how you sell. Because fighters are fucking stupid. We follow trends, you know? Oh, shit talking? Cool, I'm going to shit talk. Oh, you destroy some shit? Blah, blah, blah. Don't be surprised if, like, some weird shit happens, like someone jumps out of the cage after Colby Covington or something, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Of all the people.
He's,
You know, but you think back to when the original, like, big melee in Cage happened, and it was not like a planned thing. It was real gangster shit in Elite XC.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Diaz
brothers and Jake Shields and Mayhem Miller and Mayhem and all those dudes threw down. That was, I mean, you go back and watch that. That's about as real as it gets.
Yeah.
And that was back. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Was that Elite XC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Elite XC. And that, I mean, you know, that really kind of set that promotion back. So it's kind of funny.
They fucking canceled. Yeah. They canceled.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny that happened then and it made that promotion essentially die.
But see the difference.
And this, you know, is now you have an established company. Mm-hmm. And they can use it, and they have the marketing power and savvy to make this work. And the other thing to remember is, it's as Ariel Helwani puts it, this is state run TV, right?
Yeah.
Like UFC gets to show what they want when they want. It's their show.
That's the difference.
Elite XC was on, I think, NBC. It was ABC or something. It was
one of those channels.
Yeah, yeah, a regular mainstream channel, you know. And they had, I think it was, I mean, alongside the Mauro Ranallo and whoever else, they had like Gus Johnson, and you know, he's a college football guy or whatever. But
this is disgraceful.
it's just crazy, man. It's crazy where we've, you know, how far the sport has come, even though it's really cyclical, right? Like it's kind of just doing the same thing.
Weird. For sure.
It's weird.
It's crazy, man. You know, it was a crazy weekend. I don't know. I kind of hope the rematch doesn't happen, to be honest. Like I'm done with Conor. I want to see him fight someone else. I want to see him to come back, you know, and actually fight maybe Nate Diaz or Dustin Poirier or fuck, even Tony Ferguson. Like I would like to see him fight, you know.
I want to see him fight someone who stand up with him. I mean, I think Tony Ferguson would, but is smart enough to know that he needs to take that fight to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, if Anthony Pettis can clip you, Conor McGregor can clip you.
Yeah.
And you probably going to sleep if Pettis puts you on your ass like that. Conor McGregor hits you with that left, night. But I don't know. I'd like to see the Nate Diaz trilogy closed out. I think that's the fight everybody
that's
wants.
That's the fight, man.
And Dustin Poirier wants that fight, man. He wants that fight back so bad.
Yeah,
I'd love,
especially
to see
at a different weight class.
Him now versus Conor, I'd love to see it. So. Yeah. You know, we'll see what happens. We're gonna find out more as the weeks unfold. Hopefully, Khabib gets his money soon, and
which is bullshit that they paid Conor, but whatever.
But before they saw that video of him also throwing punch, but
yeah,
you know, we'll see. My biggest concern is just that they don't allow him a work visa. Like that could be a huge problem.
I don't think they'll do that just because Conor got off. You know.
Yeah. I agree, but you never know. You never know, because they're putting the public in danger when you're doing it there in the arena versus putting just the other fighters in danger, even though obviously that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
You know, you put the public in danger, it's a problem. I mean, I heard someone try to compare this to that Indiana Pacers thing when they went up in the crowd
with the Ron Artest
fans. Yeah, yeah. Which obviously is not the same thing.
No, that was way crazier.
Way worse. Yeah. But, yeah, man, crazy weekend, crazy fights, and just crazy craziness.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's pretty much it, folks. Covered it all, you know.
Yeah. This weekend, welcome. Though, we get to see who's fighting in the heavyweight final.
Yeah,
Bellator, and that's exciting.
Make sure you guys tune in to Bellator on Friday and on Saturday on the Paramount Network or on the DAZN app. Which is, you know, I find it very lovely. So there's my
DAZN DAZN.
DAZN.
Yeah, I don't have it yet.
Oh, well.
We'll see.
Fuck.
Maybe I will. You give me a code, I'll do it.
I need a code first.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right, guys. Thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you hit us up on social media at David Golden MMA, at Uber Smitty. Be sure to leave us that 5-star written review and share the podcast with a friend. That's an easy way to help us out. And also, if you see Alan Joban out there trying to hijack our name, make sure to let him know that we're already here, and him and his partner can respectfully bow out and change their name again. They told us they were going to change the name of their podcast, and we told them, hey, that's already the name of
our
podcast.
Well, I feel like that's my fault, the reason why they did it the way they did it, because, you know, I came at him hard. I came at him hard. And I was going to apologize about it, but then he clapped back at me, right? Because on Instagram, he was cool, and then he deleted his comment. And then on Twitter, he clapped back at me, and then he fucking blocked me. Like, right after he clapped. Like, don't fucking reply and then block me, you fucking puss.
Well, I was respectful just because I was like, hey, man, do a quick Google search, bro, before you try to name your podcast. Like, that's what we did. It's not that fucking hard.
Yeah, and then some jump asshole. On did you see some asshole try to say, oh, someone else already had that name before you guys and da 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 da?
Yeah, who?
It was fucking Dan Hooker or some shit. He tweeted at me, and I was like, all right, well, it's fucking, I was like, the difference, I didn't even tweet at him. I was just like, dude, you're fucking annoying. Like, he's like, which one should I listen to, this one or Dan Hooker's? Because he's always tweeting at me, right? Just, he's fucking annoying. And he's supposedly a fan of mine or something, but he's just, I can't stand him, man.
Yeah.
So, well, I just muted his ass.
Well, nevertheless, we got that name. Alan Joban and somebody else are going to try to call their show the Writer Fighter Podcast.
Yeah, so if you guys want to listen to Derek Zoolander fucking talk, then go listen to that bullshit.
Yeah.
But, hey, Alan Joban, I'll fucking slap you up, boy. Little bitch. No, for real, man. Fuck him. Yeah. I'm out.